Welcome to Mac Stories Unwind, a weekly review of everything Mac Stories and more. I'm John Voorhees, and with me, of course, is Federico Fatici. Hey, Federico.
Hello, John. Hi, how are you?
Happy weekend. I mean, here we are. It's Friday, and we're going into the weekend. I should mention, too, that this episode is sponsored by our friends at Unite. Unite 4, it's a great app. We'll hear about it a little more later in the show, but I think news has started to happen again, and that's kind of nice. It's good to be back off the holidays and have something going on on Mac Stories again.
Yeah, it's I guess overall, like for me at least, it's nice to be back in a work mindset. It's always nice to, I took some time for thinking and reflecting on a bunch of things, and it's nice to have things happening and to have, we're working on a lot of things for 2021. I've been saying this in a bunch of different places, and it's nice that we're seeing, we're getting out of a long cycle of news, and like last year was not easy for anyone really. So
right,
it's nice to have somewhat regular work again.
Yes. And we're, we do have things coming later in the year. It's going to be a little while, so don't expect anything in the next week or two, but we'll have announcements at some point in 2021. It's just going to be a little while. Why don't we dive in, Federico? And I want to kick it off by talking to you about CES. I really like CES, and I think I like CES because I don't go to CES. And this year, the entire world joined me in virtual CES because my CES has always been virtual. It's always been a matter of going through hundreds of headlines and trying to pull out the very best stuff to summarize for Mac Stories readers. And I like doing that because there's so much junk at CES that there are two things I like. I like finding the things that I think are going to be trends that are worth paying attention to in the new year, but also to find those weird things. And I was a little concerned that we wouldn't have weird CES this year with everything being online, but that came through for us, and we do have some somewhat weird things this year. The show has shrunk quite a bit. I noticed it this year. I think I read on The Verge that it's only about a quarter of the vendors compared to a couple of years ago, like in 2019. So the volume was a lot less, which made my job a little easier, but there was a little less to talk about. I think, if you look at the story on the site, a couple of the things that really stood out to me were the LG TVs and the OLED computer displays that LG is doing. There, all the major TV manufacturers had new TVs, but LG is really pushing things forward both on the quality of their OLED screens, but also incorporating gamer friendly features like
iOS review, the ability to have like a full-on outline mode, because there used to be
the screen that they showed off, the OLED one, looks really, really nice.
I recently had a conversation with Sylvia
about what? About your LG display?
Two conversations, I guess. One is, I really dislike my LG display, the ultrafine display that I have at my desk. It's really ugly.
Yeah.
And it's not, it's fine, but it's not the best looking piece of hardware that I have.
Sure.
But also, like, do we ever want to change our television in the bedroom? And like, I have a 2017 LG TV, which unfortunately does not support AirPlay or HomeKit.
Right.
And I don't really want to change my TV, but the more I'm looking at these new TV sets that are coming out, not just from LG, but also from Sony.
Yeah,
and
Sony's are nice.
They have support for HDMI 2.1 with the higher refresh rates, and OLED has improved. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man, those TVs, they look real nice.
But you and I are having the same conversations.
Changing your TV, especially a big TV, is like a whole thing.
It is.
And I don't want to do it, at least for now.
Yeah, it's not even just the expense. They tend to be pretty expensive, but on top of that, it's just the whole process of switching TVs. And I have the added complication that our main television is actually mounted on the wall, which, then I have to either do that myself or I have to hire someone, and we're in the middle of a pandemic. There's all kinds of reasons why not to change your TV, but boy, do these TVs look good. Mm-hmm. But in any event, we also saw Wi-Fi 6E. Now, Wi-Fi 6 feels like it was brand new.
Yeah, I mean, was it just like
it is,
coming
it
out
is basically
now?
Brand new. Okay. Yeah, I think it was Wi-Fi 6 is probably was announced a couple of years ago, but it takes a very long time for devices to support these new standards. And E is substantially faster than even 6. But if you want to buy a router that actually supports this, it's going to cost you a lot of money. I think it's like $400 or $500 for just one node. And, you know, I think Linksys has a 3-pack for a mesh network if you have a bigger house. That costs $1,200. That's a lot to spend on Wi-Fi. And there's really nothing that supports 6E right now. None of the iPhones do. None of the Mac computers do that I know of. So, you know, this is a thing to watch but not do anything with yet. There was my favorite router. There's always one of these, right? There's this TP-Link router that looks like a sci-fi spider. It's this Wi-Fi router that's bristling with antennas. They're plastic with lots of red on it. And it looks like it's been designed for that very particular demographic of 13 to 15-year-old boys. I think that they'll do really well with that segment of the market. But most people wouldn't want to put this in their house, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at those pictures.
If you bought that, and you put in your kitchen, what would Sylvia say? Let's start with that.
She would take the thing and throw it out the window. It's pretty simple, really.
Exactly.
She would
exactly.
Be like, what is this monster? No. I'm fine with my Orbeez. Again, small apartment. I don't need anything more than my Orbeez setup that covers the entire apartment plus the large balcony that we have outside.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, the Orbeez is the way to go. That's what I've got, too, and I like a lot. A couple other things to mention quickly, I guess. For Apple accessories, Kensington came out of nowhere with this really neat stand, hub, charger kind of device that it looks a little bit like a Pro Display XDR stand, but you magnetically attach an iPad Pro or an iPad Air 11-inch to it, and it has a Qi charger in the base for your phone and AirPods, and then around the back, it's got USB-A outputs, HDMI 2.0. It's got a 3.5-millimeter headphone jack. It's got an SD card reader. It's an Ethernet jack, too. It's got a lot going on here. Pretty nice setup, I think. It does not appear to be adjustable up and down, though, which is kind of too bad because I think it does seem a little bit low. But yeah, it's no price and no date on it either. So, you know, we'll just have to keep an eye on whether that is. But it also requires external power.
Yeah, this is very interesting to me as an idea. I'm a little concerned about the lack of height adjustability.
Right.
But it looks like as a product, this is the kind of thing, like the integrated setup that I really am fascinated by, especially when you combine it with the Magic Keyboard and a trackpad. Looks real good.
Yeah, it does look nice. And Satechi, I think is the name of the company, is doing something that I found really practical that might be the only thing at CES that I buy, which is there's a dock that can handle 5 different devices. And you just kind of put them in there on their sides vertically and you charge things there. I mean, it's really not particularly sexy, but it's a way to charge a bunch of things at once. It has a Qi charging pad as well. Federico, what did you think of Weird CES this year? I found it not as weird as some past years. I mean, mm-hmm. I was reminded by The Verge that last year we had what was probably the most 2020 product ever, but nobody knew it at the time, which was the Charmin toilet paper robot. Do you remember those stories about the robot that was supposed to bring you toilet paper?
I think I do, yes.
That was January 2020, and nobody knew mm-hmm. at the time that would be a thing. But what did you think of 2021's Weird CES?
Well, I saw that there were more robots, right? And one was called Richie, and another one, Bot Handy.
Yes.
Like, what is going on with these names?
I think they're all
coordinated. Why is it always robots? Why is it always robots? And there was also a $3,000 dog door.
Yes.
Why does it cost $3,000?
It's not. It doesn't even have Alexa or HomeKit support, like we talked. We're going to talk about on App Stories next week. It's an automated door opener. You know, you install it, I guess, in an existing door in your home, and your dog has a special thing on its collar so that when the dog approaches the door, it opens automatically. But it's $3,000, which is kind of a lot. I mean, you know, I'm sure you love your dogs, Federico, but I don't know if you're willing to spend $3,000 to let them in and out of your apartment.
No, I don't think
so. Not that they would do that anyway. I don't know.
That's not the product that I'm looking for.
Maybe the price will go down over time. I mean, it does seem handy if you like to let your dog in and out on their own to the backyard.
Sure. Why not? $3,000. That's totally fine for that kind of product.
Proof of concept. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So we had some Apple news this week too. And there, everybody got super excited because there was a teaser on CBS This Morning this week where they said they were going to interview Tim Cook and he was going to talk about something big that wasn't a product. And I think most people guessed that maybe it was going to be vaccinations at Apple stores, but that's not what it is. It was an expansion of Apple's Racial Equity and Justice Initiative, which is an initiative that's led by Lisa Jackson at Apple. And there was a lot announced here, but the three main things that Apple is doing to expand this program, which was announced kind of mid-2020, is they are donating $25 million to build a Propel Center in Atlanta, which is a center for students and teachers at historically Black colleges to come together. It's not just for one particular college. It's kind of a hub for lots of different colleges to use as a facility for coding and learning things and that sort of deal. And that's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. There's also a coding center that's going to be started in Detroit, Michigan, not far from where I grew up. And I think this is the first coding center in the United States. There's been one in, I think, Northern Italy, if I remember right, and Brazil.
No, it's in Naples, so it's in Southern.
It's in Naples. For some reason, I thought it was closer. I was like in the Lombardy region or something. But okay, it's in Naples. There's also one, I believe, in Brazil, another in India. There have been several of these opened up, but this is the first one in the United States. And then Apple is also investing money into venture capital firms that are supporting startups that are founded by Black and Brown entrepreneurs. So a lot going on there. There's a whole bunch of other aspects to it, including like scholarships for students and grants for teachers and other things. So, you know, visit the site if you want to find out the details there. But it's nice to see Apple really putting their both their money and I think their people behind this, because other aspects of this are Apple engineers involved in the coding programs and some of their education people also supporting this. So it's more than just money, the money is obviously nice, but it's also a lot of their personnel who are getting involved in this.
All right. We also had an app review on Mac Stories this week done by Alex. And this is my kind of app review, John.
I know that you would love this.
This app is called Pupper. And it's an application to help you teach your dog new tricks. So basically, this is the kind of app that it makes perfect sense for 2020 if you're staying at home and you have dogs. And obviously, you know, you're perhaps cutting down on the time that you spend outside because maybe you don't want to be around people, you don't want to be in crowded places, but you still want to keep your dog active, right? You still want to teach your dog some new things. And this is the kind of app that, I mean, go check out the review on Mac Stories because there's also some excellent GIFs of Alex's dog, Gracie, and she's pretty much incredible. And you can see the GIFs of the exercises and the tricks that Alex was able to teach Gracie. Pupper has a bunch of different activities that you can try with your dog. You can teach your dog to, you know, do things like close the door or open the door or putting their own toys away or fetching the leash, you know, all that kind of stuff. And obviously the basics like sit down, stay, come, you know, that usual commands. And they're graded by difficulty levels and there's instructions on how you can teach your dog those, you know, those all those commands, all the steps that the app suggests you follow. It's very much my kind of app, and Alex has all the details on the in-app purchases and the subscriptions that you can unlock in Pupper. It's a different type of app on Mac Stories, but it's also totally on brand because I obviously love dogs, and this is the kind of a utility that I showed Sylvia, and she's like, "We need to try this with Zelda and Ginger," so we are going to.
Nice, nice. Yeah, no, I knew you would love this when you saw it, and the gifts are a really nice touch because it does give you a sense for how quickly Alex was able to teach Gracie to jump through his arms, which was really neat. All right, Federico, let's talk about Club Mac Stories because we had another big issue. You know, this is the second year that we've done a special New Year's issue. And this year, instead of just doing one special New Year's issue, we did two. Last week, we gave away a bunch of health, fitness, and wellness apps, I think 11. And this week, we've got even more. But this week, it's not health and fitness apps, it's productivity apps. So it's a wide variety of all sorts of utilities and things to help you get your work done. And we figured with the new year that people will be looking like we did to try to maybe try some new things. And there's a lot here because we've tried with these two issues to work with a lot of developers who we haven't worked with before on giveaways. And that way we've got a nice variety of new stuff for everybody. So check that out and make sure you sign up because those things are only going to be available for a short time in terms of the signups. Then we'll do the giveaways picked at random. In addition, in this issue, we had Alex who did the favorite, which is Bartender, which is a fantastic Mac app. We had this app way back in issue 9 of Club Mac Stories, but a lot has changed since then. And Bartender 4 it's either in the late stage of public beta or it's out now, but it's a big update and a really nice update. So Alex covered that. And I did a collection of HomeKit apps because I've had HomeKit on the mind a lot lately. And we're going to talk about that on App Stories on Monday. And these are some of the apps that I've tried that I think are worth taking a look at. What did you do this week on the club, Federico?
I detailed the setup that I have for quick actions in GoodTask, which is my task manager of choice based on reminders. And one of the features is the ability to create custom quick actions that you can access from a context menu that you can access in the task inspector view. And I showed off some examples of the quick actions that I have and how I was able to put them together for rescheduling reminders, adding subtasks, changing due dates, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that was really good, a really good piece to do because quick actions are incredibly powerful, but they can be a little hard to get into. So it's nice to have kind of that step-by-step approach. You know, on App Stories this week, we had the big episode 200, and this was the conclusion of our Workflows Revisited mini-series that we did on the show. And we covered calendar apps. We also covered team communications, things like Slack, Discord, that sort of thing. Yep. And then you had a big surprise for us, and I'm not going to give it away. People might have probably have heard by now, but you had a big surprise of an app that you have decided to return to after at least a few years at this point. So that was kind of cool. Plus, we're doing this new thing called What's New at the beginning of App Stories, where each of us take turns on talking about something we're working on, something new we're trying, that sort of thing, so that we can expand what we're offering with App Stories. And it's not just a single topic anymore. We have like this little mini topic at the front end. So this week I talked about the automation that I wrote about for Club Mac Stories, which I've had a lot of fun playing with. So check that out and see what that's all about. All right, Federico, this episode of Unwind and all of Mac Stories this week is brought to you by Unite. Unite 4, in fact, which is a highly customizable WebKit-based app for turning websites into Mac apps. And this is an app that I love and use myself. It's the best way to really understand what it's all about is to give you some examples. Being able to do this, you can do things like create yourself your own little web app for a video streaming service, something like Netflix or maybe Disney Plus. You can replace those Electron apps that are hogging the resources on your Mac. You know, you can get rid of things like Slack. You can create a Discord app, that kind of thing. And what's nice is that the app supports the native Mac notifications. So you'll get notifications regardless of the fact that you're not using the company's Mac app anymore. You're using a web-based app. You can make an app for Apple Music or Spotify using their web-based services, or even, when you think about it, Overcast, because Marco Arment's Overcast has its own web app, and you can turn that into a web app. The number of examples just goes on and on. You could do Figma. You could have a Facebook app so that Facebook, you know, that kind of puts Facebook in a box so they can't track you across various websites if you have it as an individual app. You can create, you know, put your Instagram feed on your Mac. Lots of really neat things. Plus, right now, you can get 20% off on Unite 4 by going to bzgapps.com/MacStories. Again, that URL is bzgapps.com/MacStories. And I'll put a link in the show notes too, so you can check that out. But it's a great deal, and it's only available this week, and the week's almost over. So go take advantage of that. Our thanks to Unite for their support of Unwind and Mac Stories this week. All right, Federico, we have got to move on to our Unwind picks this week. And last week I did Unwind myself, and I suggested Console Wars, which is a documentary about the 90s battles between Nintendo and Sega. And I would highly suggest this to you, Federico, except that I believe it's only available on CBS All Access, and I don't believe that's available in Europe.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Maybe with the VPN or
something.
Yeah,
I actually I checked for you. There are many articles on the web that say you can use a VPN for CBS All Access.
All right. Do you want to know my pick this week?
I do. What do you got for me?
So my pick is the season 2 that just began a few weeks ago. There's 2 episodes out already. Season 2 of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Ah, yes.
So this is a TV show that I believe I recommended on Unwind a while back in its first season.
Mm-hmm.
The entire premise of the show, it's kind of like a comedy/musical type of show. The whole premise of it is that the main protagonist, Zoe, she's a programmer at a fake startup in San Francisco.
Very nice offices, by the way, that they have.
Very nice
show.
Offices, yes. SparkPoint is the name of the fake startup. The whole premise is that after doing an MRI, she gains the superpower of hearing people's inner thoughts in the form of these huge musical pieces.
Right.
So she hears, they call them on the show, heart songs. So she hears people's thoughts in the form of popular songs sang by the actors on the show. And these are performed with choreographies, and it's very nicely integrated with the story and the context of the show. Season 2 just began, picking up where season 1 left off. I don't want to spoil the ending of season 1. But if you're into, you know, it's a mix of comedy and, you know, drama and music. It's really lovely. It's really well done. It puts me in a good mood every time. And the cast is amazing. You know, the so many talented actors and dancers, and the choreographies are just incredible. And the cover songs are really well picked and really well put together. So season 2, I'm not sure where it streams. I just buy episodes on iTunes. So
yes, this is one of those shows that I think you told me you were watching. I said, oh yeah, Jennifer's been watching that, because this is one of those shows the two of you have in common that I didn't really watch season 1 because I forget. I think she started watching it and I was busy with something at the time and I wasn't interested, but I started watching season 2 and it's really good. And I got to go back now and watch season 1, I think, because I know it's fantastic. I've got a TV show for you too, Federico, which is The Flight Attendant on HBO Max.
Oh, nice. This is the one with the Kelly Cuoco, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I have not watched this, the first season just ended and I have not watched the entire thing. I've watched just a couple episodes, but it really grabbed me because it's about a flight attendant who's a young woman who's flying all over the world as a flight attendant and kind of a partier and just living life. And one day she wakes up in bed with a guy who's been murdered. And the story goes from there. And I don't want to give up too much beyond that, but I think it's safe to say that because that's kind of the premise of the whole show and happens at the very, very beginning. But it's really super well done. And I've been kind of taking my time going through it. If you enjoy murder mysteries, kind of action and drama shows, this is a fantastic place to go. And I know it's been talked about a lot. I only just got into it over the holidays and plan to keep watching it and finishing it up in the next few weeks because it's fantastic. All right, Federico, that's it for another Unwind. We are back and doing our weekly show, which is nice, and we'll be back next Friday to tell you more about what happened at Mac Stories. Talk to you next week, Federico.
Ciao, John.